Good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to Wilmslow Methodist Church this morning. We offer our welcome not only to those worshipping here today, but also those who will be listening to this service later on the recording. We welcome those who are visiting our church and worshipping with us, perhaps for the first time. You're very welcome to join us for coffee in the lounge at the end of the service. A couple of additional notices this morning. On Monday the 3rd, that is tomorrow, at 7:30 p.m. in St. Bart's Church, there's a service of induction to welcome the new rector. So that's in the parish church, St. Bart's, 7:30 tomorrow. And her name is Reverend Caroline Throop. There are a few people looking at the possibility of starting a new house group or study group. So if you're interested in that, please have a word with Katie. And finally, the film club will be starting again next Sunday, the 9th. And Katie hopes to get the film The Darkest Hour for that. So now I'd like to welcome our preacher this morning, who's Tony Forthrop from Bramhall, and we have a special warm welcome for him this morning because he's stood in at very short notice because the original preacher, Margaret Parker, is unwell. So particularly warm welcome to you, Tony. Thank you very much. We don't have an introit this morning, so the choir's a bit depleted, so... So I'll hand over to you, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, first of all, can you all hear? Have I got it switched on right? Well, that's a good start. Well, it's a great privilege to be here, actually. I haven't had the privilege of taking the service here since 2007, which is a few years ago. I actually did my final trial service here, but I'm afraid you've chosen a short straw this morning because Margaret Parker is an excellent preacher, ex-vice president of conference. She was one of my tutors. And I'm very sorry to hear that she's not too well. So shall we just a quick word of prayer for her? Lord and loving Father, surround Margaret Parker with love and understanding. May she have the best medical help in whatever way is required. And we pray that you will bless her in her current situation and help her back to health and strength in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start with hymn number 476. 476. One more step along the road I go. One more step along the road I go. From the old things to the new. Keep me travelling along with you. 476.
Keep me traveling along with you, and it's from the old I know.
So let us come to our Lord and Father in prayer. Let us pray. Lord and loving Father, be with us, we pray, as we gather together here in your name this morning. Let this time be an oasis of grace and peace in a busy week. Help us to create an atmosphere with each other's help in which you can speak to our hearts and minds. Bless our time together, we pray, as we sing, pray, and consider your scriptures together. But forgive us for those times when we let you down, when we don't do what you would wish us to do, when we don't speak to that person you led us to, when we don't fulfill your desire. Lord, forgive us, we pray. But Father, we praise you that you are God who keeps his promises to be with us if only we trust and obey. We thank you that you promised never to leave us if we have faith. So give us the strength and courage to maintain our faith, especially at the difficult times, so that others may gain from our faith. And now let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now I see there's some young people here this morning, so I'm going to have a word with them. You old ones can listen if you want to. Right, it's nice to see you all. And I'm going to show you a picture. And all I want you to do is tell me what it shows. That's easy, isn't it? It's not a complicated picture. It's a nice, simple picture. But this is the difficult part. I don't want you to shout out what it is. I want you to put up your hand and I'll ask you. All right? Can you do that? I'll step a paces back so some of the grown-ups can see as well. Right, there we are. One, two, three, it's gone. What is it? Yes, good. A swan's head. Very good. Right, any other suggestions? Hello, who do you think it, what did you think it was?
A dove.
What's head?
A dove.
A dove, oh. Obviously it's a rabbit. Look, there's its eyes, there's its ears. What else could it be? You see, that shows. Now, most people say it's a rabbit. Actually, some people... Yeah, that's near enough. Near enough, isn't it? Because hair's got long ears like that. So, now, what does that mean? Some people thought it's one thing, some another. Now, a rabbit doesn't look a bit like a bird, does it? And a bird doesn't look a bit like a rabbit. But, see, it depends on where you're looking at it. If you look at it one way, if you look at it this way, it's a rabbit. If you look at it that way, it's a bird. Now, what do we learn from that? Sometimes at school or somewhere, people say, I don't like that person because they've only seen part of them. Somebody else might say, oh, they're a very nice person. So the first thing is, we don't judge on seeing half. See, if I'd showed you the picture of a rabbit with all the body, you'd have known straight away. And if I'd shown a picture of the bird with all the body, you'd have known straight away. So that's the first thing. Don't jump to conclusions, particularly about people, because you've only seen a bit of them. Now I'm going to ask you all another thing. Where does the sun rise? In the east, north, east, south, or west? Come on, they're all bright in Wilmslow. East. Anywhere else? No, you're right, of course it does. Now, suppose in Australia, where did it rise?
The north. Northeast.
Northeast, someone says. Any other? No? It rises in the east exactly the same as it does here, because the world is going around the same way. But I've seen it rise in the west. How can I see it rise in the west? Sorry?
Your perspective, where you are.
From where you are, absolutely right. It depends where you are, what you see, and what you're at. I was in a plane going from Britain to West Canada, and we went the polar route. And we left at tea time in the autumn, and it was soon dark. But because we were taking a short crust across the top of the earth, we caught the dawn up, and it rose in the west. And I saw it once rise and fall in the north, because I was flying from China back to here over the pole, and the sun came up, went down again. So a lot of things in life depend where you are, what your view is. So be careful when you make a definite statement that it must be like that. There's often another point of view as well, at a different angle, a different way. Now, are you youngsters going out now or after the next hymn?
After the next.
Righto, right, we'll have the next hymn then, shall we? Which is number 382, if my memory's right. Yes, Holy Spirit, come confirm us. And it's to the tune of 341, which is much better known. 382. Just say a word of prayer to our young folk as they leave. Lord and loving Father, be with these young people today, now, and through the coming days. Be with those who help to teach them, that all teachers and young people alike may be blessed in what they learn and how they put it into practice. Surround them, we pray, with that love and understanding which is a mark of Christian people. Lord, bless them in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good time as you go to talk to each other. Hello. Where are you going? Wish I had that life. So, shall we now have the offertory, please? Father, take these small tokens of our love for you. Use and bless them in the name of Jesus, that your word may be heard in other places as well as this, but also use them here in this place, that people may come here to find you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, may we have our first lesson, please.
Our reading is Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 47. Peter is speaking to those gathered on the day of Pentecost. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." To those who welcomed this message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common, goods and they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Amen.
Thank you very much for reading that lesson. 3,000 added to the church that day. When did you last hear of that happening? I think there's three times probably in my life when the church has grown. The first was during the last war, World War II, when I was younger than I am now, shall we say. And we were up against it. Dunkirk, you know the story, the miracle of Dunkirk. Why was it a miracle? Because uncanny things happened. The sea was like a millpond, most unusual. And yet, a few miles away, the Luftwaffe, for lots of time, was grounded by fog. We didn't know that at the time. Hitler gave the order, don't worry about the British, we'll mob them up soon, carry on to Paris, which they did. But perhaps more importantly, we knew that our army, such as it was likely to be totally lost. And the King went onto the BBC, still a comparative new thing, radio, and made an appeal for everybody to pray. And Winston Churchill also made an appeal and took the whole cabinet to Westminster Abbey to pray. Can you imagine that today? Two of the leaders are professed agnostics or atheists. And the churches were packed full with chairs down the aisles. I can remember that. And there were a number of occasions, certainly six, when similar things happened, because we face a common foe. In 1948, I think it was, I went to a Billy Graham meeting at Wembley Stadium. We lived in Wembley in those days. And there was lots of singing and reading and talking. And Billy Graham made an address and then appealed for those to come forward who would like to profess. Someone's pointing to them. Like, confess. And I thought, well, nobody's going to come down for that. I've heard better sermons at church many a time. And I wasn't surprised. Only a trickle of people went down. And a few more words are said. And he made another appeal. And a few more went down. And he said a bit more. And he made another appeal. And the whole place erupted. Hundreds and hundreds went down. Confess, repent, and want to join the church. In the 1980s, we had a Billy Graham campaign in Sheffield, and I was living in Sheffield, and I was involved in many ways. And I can remember the first meeting, and we had singing and a wonderful choir, and there's people giving testimonies, and then Billy Graham made this address and appealed to people to come forward. It is in a big football ground, so plenty of room, and just one or two went forward. And he made another appeal, and a few more went forward. And he made another appeal, a place erupted. Hundreds, hundreds. And that happened every day. Indeed, the day when the Christian singer who's been in the news recently, I can't think of his name now, gave the address, we had a massive overflow moment, and we had a hard job to cope with the people, but the Billy Graham organisation was very efficient. But now the majority of people worship money, and anything that gets in the way of that is not to be tolerated. So maybe we have to go back to basics, as we heard in that passage from the Bible. Let's not have an Old Testament lesson this morning. I hope that's not going to upset anybody. I usually do. It's nothing against the Old Testament. But I thought it would be relevant to have relevant passages this morning about what I'm talking about. Sometimes, you know, when the preacher's finished, someone comes up and says, thank you very much for the service, which is very, very nice. Sometimes they get further and they say, well, thank you for the service. I found it helpful, or I enjoyed it, or something like that, which makes life worthwhile. But probably the best compliment that's ever been paid to me was a lady at another church in the circuit who came up. I think she might have been the steward there, but anyway, it didn't matter. She came up and said, "Oh, thank you, I found that very helpful, that service. I like your services." So she must have seen me looking at her a bit quizzically, why she loves my service more than anybody else's. And as though to justify herself, she said, "You talk about the Holy Spirit." So I said, "Well, don't all preachers talk about the Holy Spirit? After all, it's the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit." "Oh no," she said, "they don't." So I began to listen at services I was at, and I have to admit that many, many people do not mention the Holy Spirit. And yet it is the Holy Spirit which we rely on. We can't imagine or even see God. We can perhaps imagine Jesus because he had a human form, and we can remember what he says, but it's the Holy Spirit which we rely on to get us through day to day. Now, if I was to ask you what your favourite Bible book was after the four Gospels, or maybe what you think were the most important was, I wonder what you'd say. I suspect some might say the Psalms. Some Genesis, the beginning of everything. Some perhaps Isaiah, where there's a forecast of what will happen. Some Paul's letter, perhaps Corinthians 13, the chapter about love. But for me, there's no question, head and shoulders above everything else, is the Acts of the Apostles. As far as I'm concerned, it's really the fifth gospel. After all, it's the second half of Luke. It says at the beginning, you've had my first half, which is Luke's gospel, now I'm writing the second. But the important thing is, it's all about the church, the early church, and how it grew. And maybe if we took notice of how it grew then, we might think of how it should grow now. Now, as preachers, we're encouraged to follow the lectionary. We never had one in my young days in Methodism. It came in, I think, about the time of the Methodist-Anglican conversations. But I have serious issues with the lectionary. Often the readings are a bit here and a bit there out of the same chapter, because they may leave out the verses they don't want you to think about, which to me often gives you, you don't get the proper story. But the major thing, as far as I'm concerned, is that it doesn't use the book of Acts very much. It uses it for the last bit of Easter story, well, because it has to finish the story. It obviously uses it for Pentecost, because there's no other thing it can use. And there's a little, sometimes you get a reading from Acts occasionally between the two. But for the rest of the year, you're lucky if you get one at all, and if it is one, it's usually in the second service of the day, which most people don't have. And yet, to me, it's the fifth gospel. It's the important one. It relates, it's straightforward, it's easy to read, you don't have to try and unravel it. It's there. And I like facts, not fancies. It's a story of the early disciples. Now, if you use the lectionary, you almost certainly don't hear anything about Barnabas. Barnabas is my favourite person in the Old Testament, in the Bible, apart from Jesus, of course. If it wasn't for Barnabas, we probably wouldn't have Paul, and we probably wouldn't have Luke, and that's half the New Testament. When Paul was converted on the Damascus Road, as you all know, sudden conversion, and he went to consider himself for a while, but the church in Jerusalem would have nothing to do with it. After all, he'd been around persecuting them, putting them in prison, killing them. Not surprising they wouldn't have anything to do with him. But it was Barnabas who met him and told the church at Jerusalem, "Look, he's a converted, changed man. Come and hear him. Bring him into the church." And then later on, you know, Paul had his missionary journeys. Barnabas went with him sometimes. And on one journey, Paul went to go further, and he had Silas and Barnabas and Luke with them. And Barnabas wanted Luke to go with them. Mark to go with them, and Paul wouldn't have it, and there was quite a row between them. Paul said, "No, Mark let us down on that last journey. He didn't go all the way with us." And so what happened was Paul went with Silas, and Barnabas went with Mark. There they are. Oh dear. Now don't worry, later on they made it up. But the important thing is God used that, because Paul went on one group on a missionary journey, and Barnabas and Mark went on another. So instead of having one missionary team, there were two, and that made the church grow quicker. So to me, if you don't know or hear much about Barnabas, that is a tragedy. But of course there's a lot more people in the Acts of the Apostles. Philip, he was the first missionary, if you like. He felt God's voice telling him to go down to the desert road, Samaria, where Jews didn't go. And there he met somebody from Ethiopia. You remember the story, how he was in the chariot, and Philip went up and said, "Do you understand what he's talking about?" And he said, "No, not really." And he explained it all to him. The chap was baptized. And so the gospel went to Ethiopia. And hundreds of years later, when missionaries went there, they discovered the gospel was already there. The book of Acts. Oh, I could go on, but I mustn't go on too much, must I? But I think the important thing is, and we'll come to it back in a minute, the book of Acts talks about the Holy Spirit. And that is crucial. So let's sing 385. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Move among us with your holy fire as we lay aside all earthly desire. 385.
Thank you.
So let us come to our Lord and Father in prayer. Shall we pray? Lord and loving Father, we have just sung, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Help us to really welcome the guidance of your Holy Spirit into our lives and commend the Holy Spirit to others. Help us to ensure that this church will always be a place where people can find renewal of body, mind and spirit. Come, we pray, into our homes and families. Fill them with the power of your presence and Holy Spirit, that all may be worthy members of your world church. Help us to broadcast your name by word and deed. Lord, we know that we should be your hands and feet on this earth. But we know that we cannot do this and offer Christ to others unless we receive you personally into our hearts. So fill us, we pray, with your Holy Spirit to guide, direct and teach us in all that we do in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. So may we now have our second lesson, please.
Second lesson is Acts chapter 4, from verse 32 to the end. Now, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Amen.
Thank you very much for reading that. Sounds like utopia, doesn't it? No one had need. Everything was in common. They all met together and got on very well. There was, of course, a flaw. Utopia doesn't last, does it? By all means, give all that you have to the church. But they made it compulsory. Oh dear, and that caused trouble. You can read about it in Acts of Apostle. We're not going to talk about it today. If you give, it must be voluntary. Because because that way the good is done. And of course you noticed Barnabas wasn't Barnabas at all. He's a chap called Joseph. And they called him Barnabas because he encouraged everybody. Now, of all the gifts that you can have, I reckon encouraging others, particularly into the Christian faith, is about as good as they come. So you're beginning to see why Barnabas, I think he's one of my favourite characters. Because, as I said, without Barnabas you probably wouldn't have Paul. Without Paul you wouldn't have Mark, and you wouldn't have half the New Testament. So it's all going beautifully lovely. Now, I think you've got to notice three PRs. Now, I know PR stands for public relations, but in this case it stands for praise, prayer and preaching, because that's the three things that the early church did with the fantastic results. And where those three things are done regularly, forcefully, the church grows. Or Christianity grows, I probably should say, rather than the church. It's needed today everywhere. And of course, the church is growing very often in the worst possible places. China, Iran, parts of Africa, where the church is being persecuted. A few months ago we had a chap from the Iranian church in Liverpool, I think it was Liverpool, don't take me for gospel there, I think it was. Apparently they've gathered there and he said it's the second fastest growing church in the world, and yet it's being persecuted like mad in Iran, which has taken a more and more hardline reactionary Muslim stand on everything. It's funny, isn't it, when they're up against it we turn to God. Wasn't that the whole story of the Old Testament? When everything was going fine, gradually they took up other gods, they forgot about praising the Lord, and then there'd be a crisis and they all shouted, "Lord, why have you done this?" Even to the extent of going into exile on one occasion. So remember the three PRs. So how do we get the Holy Spirit? Just a few words, if I can find it. I can't. It's on the other page. Got it down here somewhere, I thought. Yes, no. No, don't worry. How do we get it? Well, we get it by prayer, by being attuned to God, by attending church, by reading the scriptures, and so on and so forth. It's one of those things that it comes without you knowing. And it has all sorts of effects on your life. Sometimes it makes you go where you don't want to go. Just a little story. I when I was living in Harrow and I worked in Acton for a period, the only time in my life I actually went to work in a car, because we had to cross the main lines of travel. And for quite a period I went down the busy A4, like A40, which becomes the M40 across now. And it goes to a place called Hanger Lane, which is a busy junction. And they reckoned it was the busiest junction, certainly in West London, after the war. And it was the first place to have an underpass as a result. And so every day I would go along under the underpass and then depart or turn off and go through the side streets to where I worked. And while I was working there, my parents decided they were going to visit a cousin in Australia. And so we went away for 3 or 4 months. And my father said, "Now, would I mind once a week going to their flat in Wembley, Wembley Hill, and just checking the post, see if there's any urgent bills to be paid, see that everything is all right. And while I was there, would I go across the road to Phil Winch, who was a member of their local Methodist church, same as they were. She looked after her father for many years. Her father died. He was a friend of my father. And they were a little bit concerned about her health and so on. Yes, so trouble. So every Thursday I left, and my wife knew, of course, that I would be a bit later home. And I got to Hanger Lane, and I had to go up the slip road, which probably took two turns or maybe three of the traffic lights before I could get out onto the North Circular Road, and then you go across the railway and across the A40, and another lot of traffic lights, you go a bit further, another lot of traffic lights, and then you're off down the North Circular Road. This was before the M25 was built, so the North Circular Road was the ringway of London. And I did this every Thursday. And when I sorted the flat out, I went across the road to see Phil Winch. One day, on a Wednesday, note the day, I set off for work, and suddenly I found myself driving down the North Circular Road. And I thought, what am I doing here? How have I gone through three lots of traffic lights without any memory whatsoever? It's totally unlike me. I always notice that lorry there, that bus there, that person's there. Oh dear, I'm on the wrong day. I better turn off at the next turning. But I couldn't. It's all blocked off, because as the North Circular got busier, so they blocked off the side roads. And I went on, oh Dan, you can't do a U-turn? Oh dear. And if I went up through Wembley High Road, that was your jam solid every evening. Oh, there's nothing for it. I have to go to the flat. When I get there, perhaps I can phone my wife and tell her I'll be late. So that's what I did. Very annoyed I was that I'd done such a stupid thing. And when I got there, instead of going into the flat as I always did, I went across the road to Phil Winch, who just lived quite nearby, at his house. I rang, knocked the door, no answer. Knocked again, no answer. Well, she was in her terrace house, so I went round the corner and looked into the garden, and there she was at the bottom of the garden. So I waved hello, and she looked up and came to look as though she'd seen the ghost. And she said, oh, I'm so glad you've come. I said, why? What's the matter? Oh, she said, I was praying that somebody would come. I said, well, so we went in and had a chat, and basically she was elderly on her own, and she'd arranged a builder to come do a lot of work for her, and the builder had asked for the money in advance, and she said, if I don't pay him, will I get the work done? If I do pay him, will I see the money? Will I ever see him again? And we had a chat, and basically I think we came to agreement that she would give him something in advance for some materials and then pay him as he did the work. But she went away. When I went away, she was smiling. When I arrived, she looked very harassed. Now, it wasn't until afterwards I thought, just this minute, how did I go through all those places, that busiest junction in London, and not know anything about it? And when I got there, why did I go to see Phil Worth instead of going to the flat as I always did? And the answer I can only come to was the Holy Spirit made me go. So it doesn't always do what you want to do. But what I will say, and I mustn't be much longer because I don't know why I go over my time. What I will say is that when you have setback in life, or something goes wrong, or something doesn't go the way you'd like it to, sometimes that is when the Holy Spirit is working. And certainly, the Holy Spirit can often make that work better. It's not always a question of the Holy Spirit makes you go there, but what it often is a question of you were frustrated, annoyed, something didn't happen, you didn't get your just desserts, something like that. But looking back years later, you can say, well, that was good. Certainly, I wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for that sort of thing that's happened to me. So let us remember the Holy Spirit. It's God's way. He gave us it. He told us we would receive it. And we did, or can, if we pray long enough, hard enough, frequently enough. So may I ask your blessing on everybody here, that they may receive the Holy Spirit to guide, direct and help them in all that they do in this life. In Jesus' name. Amen. So shall we sing number 531? 531. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And you'll notice how many times the word prayer appears in this, one of my favourite hymns. 531. Sit down. So let us come again to our Lord and Father in prayer. Let us pray. Lord and loving Father, we know that our faith is not always as strong as we would wish. Yet you have given us many fellow workers that together as a church we might show our love for others. And pray for those known to us who are sick or depressed, grieving, frustrated, or just suffering in any other way. And so I ask you now to please pray in silence for those for whom you have a particular concern. Lord, surround those we have named with love, peace, or healing as appropriate. Let love be shown directly through a friend or through a stranger. May they know your nearness, especially at times of difficulty. Lord, you promise to bless the peacemakers, whether people or nations. So we pray for peace in so many places today. Syria, Iraq, Iran, Israel, Palestine, Bangladesh, Sudan, the Yemen, and those many other places where there is conflict, persecution, famine, or a mixture of these. Be with the refugees, but be, Lord, with those Christians who are being persecuted so much in many countries, even countries like India that we may think of as civilized, yet extremists are attacking Christians, so that there are more martyrs to the Christian faith now than ever before in history. Lord, we pray for the minister and leaders of this church. Give them wisdom and guidance in all they do in your name. Fill those here who work for you. And in your name, with your Holy Spirit, and empower them with your grace, that your will may be done in this church and area. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Saviour. Amen. So shall we conclude with hymn number 736, In Heavenly Love Abiding, No Change My Heart Shall Fear. 736. Let us give thanks as we go in peace, that peace which passes all understanding. And may the love of God go with us. May his grace daily sustain us. And may his Holy Spirit guide us. And may the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Saviour, surround us now and through the coming days. Amen.